Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Create a brighter future for your employees with Zurich Corporate Pensions. Trust excellence. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more.
The government, as you heard in the bulletin, has today announced Daniel McSweeney that he will be in charge of the independent office to lead an excavation at the site of the former mother and baby home in Tuam in County Galway and oversee that children's remains at the site are recovered and identified and reinterred in a respectful and appropriate way. Minister Roderick O'Gorman spoke to Brian Dobson on the News at One.
This is a deeply complex operation. It's going to be one of the most complicated forensic excavations in the world taking place. There hasn't been an initial gathering, a collection of DNA of family members yet. And we've agreed with Mr. McSweeney that his initial engagements today and over the next number of weeks will actually be with families and relatives of survivors or former residents of the Tuam institution.
That's Minister Roderick O'Gorman. For more on this, I'm joined by Breda Murphy of the Tuam Mother and Baby Home Alliance. Breda, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you, Cormac.
We'll speak with Catherine Connolly, Galway West TD, in just a moment. But family members, Catherine, they've been waiting a long, long time for this day to learn about the process of excavation, exhumation and identification of the remains of these babies, these children. What's your reaction today?
Well, we have indeed, if you listened earlier, Catherine Corliss also spoke that in 2014 was when she first discovered the fact that children's remains were unaccounted for within Tuam, and there were almost 800. Mm-hmm. And then we learned from Dr. Niamh McCullough on test excavation in 2016 and 2017 that indeed the remains dated to the year of the home, which was 1925 to 1961. And so she recommended, being the expert, that those remains should be taken out of the ground within a 6-month period in order to preserve the DNA. Now, we have, you know, had many false starts as regards waiting for justice to follow. And I suppose today, while we think of the families connected in Tuam, of course, and within our group and throughout the country, we are thinking as well, particularly of those in Besborough, Shanross Abbey, mm-hmm. Castle Pollard, the many, many children. And we have vowed to leave no one behind. And so, in essence, those sites demand and are entitled to the same scrutiny in order that we know that the children were not inappropriately buried. So right now, the government have left it standing so that in the future, the director who has been appointed, he can look, it appears, at other sites. And it is up to us, or up to survivors and advocates who speak, to try and demand justice in such a way by saying that, yes, at least one, two or three, you know, there are some children, there are over 1,000 missing in one institution. There are 850 in Besborough. So how do you account for those if you say Shanross Abbey is not to be investigated?
I understand the point. And in the first breath, you're bringing up Castle Pollard and Besborough and Shanross Abbey. And we should point out to listeners, Catherine, perhaps, that this process announced today relates to Tuam only. And I suppose in the first breath, you're making the point that the other locations should be included. Can I ask you about the process that has been announced today, though? We'll come back to the other locations, I promise, in just a second. But the collection of DNA from family members, that hasn't begun as far as we know yet.
It has not. Sorry, Cormac, to cut across you.
No, you're okay.
It hasn't begun, and we've made numerous applications through representatives and directly to government, because what has happened since Dr. Niamh McCullough stated that the remains should be re-excavated within a 6-month period, we have lost 2 members within our group. Other groups have lost many members as well. And the reality being that if it closed as it did in 1961 and opened in 1925, those people are elderly. And so losing them, you're losing the strongest DNA for matching purposes. So you may be losing siblings of the lost children, or indeed a parent of the lost child.
Is that what happened, Breda, in your group? That siblings were
lost? That's what happened. So where do you go for justice then? Because Cormac, another bone of contention in relation to this, and we have them within our group, we have cousins of the lost children.
Yeah.
We've one particular cousin, Angela, who grew up knowing from her grandmother, spoke regularly of her sister, Mary Ann.
Yeah.
Mary Ann had been housed in Tuam, where she gave birth to George. George died shortly afterwards. And George is one of the children in the 1930s buried possibly in the other area of the ground where there are some coffined burials, we understand, which is under the playground. And so Mary Ann is actually in the graveyard in Loughrea.
Okay.
So again, that family have been searching for decades, but they're completely and utterly disregarded by this legislation,
whereby
the government say, because they're simply cousins. They are not siblings.
So
they
hang on,
not
are you
nephew
saying,
or niece.
You're saying that DNA won't be taken from cousins, is that right?
Yeah. The criteria is so narrow. It is for grandparents, for the parent of the child, for the siblings or half-siblings, for the nephews or nieces.
And is there an explanation, Breda? Is it down to the integrity of the DNA match then? Is that what you were told?
That's what Roderick O'Gorman has attempted to explain to us, or explain to our representatives in the All Éireann. But in that, I have, for instance, done my DNA, and two family members, extended family members, have returned to our family that we did not know of. One was in his 88th year when we found him, and the other is in her 70s. Located in Perth in Australia.
Yeah.
And she has returned to us, and we've greeted her and indeed David with open arms. So what I'm trying to convey is that if DNA worked for us then, and we know DNA, the developments, the improvements all the time with mm-hmm. technology, is there in order to assist families. And so I would ask, like 9/11, that they would take the DNA, that they would securely hold it, and that each year or with each development, they would again test it in order to match families. Because I know for Tuam, 796, there are many, many more throughout the country. But what happens in Tuam will be replicated, hopefully, mm-hmm. in other sites. So we want to ensure that children can be returned to their families. They do not have grandparents, still alive.
You want the DNA to be extended, first of all, to cousins.
Yeah.
But you want the mm-hmm. DNA sample to be taken ASAP, I assume.
Absolutely. It should have been taken 6 years ago when Dr. Niamh McCullough spoke out about it. Okay.
Can I ask you then, as you're covering an awful lot of points here, which are extremely valuable, and I might raise with Catherine Connolly as well. But can I ask you, Breda, in relation to the legislation and the potential for inquests and the role of the coroner? Now, the minister spoke with Brian Dobson, as you heard today, and he said that the legislation is designed so that the coroner could intervene at any point if they feel it's necessary. Is that flexible enough for you?
No, indeed, it's not really. But I mean, we have to roll with it, Cormac. We've made representations, and indeed people far more capable of making those representations than I, such as Professor Phil Scraton, has talked to the Children's Committee. Kathleen Funchen led that as the chair. They produced a document. They held many discussions, and they were told under no doubt should anybody be superior to the role of the coroner, because the coroner is the one person for any site where remains of anybody are found. Immediately, the coroner has jurisdiction. In this instance, the director has overall jurisdiction, and the coroner can be invited in. So I would like to see and speak to Mr. McSweeney on that, and I understand that his first engagement will be indeed with survivors, family members, advocates, etc.
Okay.
And so engagement with them is important, because again, I'm an archaeologist. I understand the DNA. I understand what Mr. O'Gorman talks about, complexity. You know, there are many complexities to matching remains, etc. But at the end of the day, we have been waiting, or many people have been waiting for decades, but we've been waiting certainly six years. So I think to get it right is important, Cormac, and to include as many as possible.
Will you stay with me, Breda Murphy, for just a moment? Because I have another question for you on redress, but I want to talk to Catherine Connolly, who's a Galway West TD, independent TD. Fall to Catherine Higgin-Glore. An awful lot of questions raised there by Breda on behalf of families. Do you think there is time now to extend to other locations and extend to cousins, for example, in this situation?
Well, as you said yourself, Breda has raised a whole number of issues and questions. First of all, to be positive, let me welcome the appointment of the director. That's number one. I have to welcome that, finally. And I welcome that the first step he's going to do is engage with people on the ground, particularly the survivors. That's extremely important. Mm-hmm. So that's welcome. Now, where do I go next with this? I'm looking at the background here to this. And, you know, first of all, none of this came from any minister or any government response proactively. This has been pulled repeatedly from the government every step of the way. Back as far as 2012, Catherine Corliss published an article in the Old Tomb Society. Mm-hmm. So let's just take that as a starting point, 2012. And for the years 1930 to 1960, she took a random list of children who lost their lives. For that period of time, the full amount of deaths were too numerous to record. She goes on between 11 and 13, and she obtained 798 death records, no burial records. So death records, but no burial records for 798 children. And we go on then to the Commission of Investigation being set up. And that was set up in 2014-15. And between 15 and 21, when they published their final report, they published many interim reports. And one of those was in relation to the site and excavations. On the 3rd of March 2017, that's over 6 years ago, the Commission confirmed that significant quantities of human remains have been discovered. Just let's try and listen to that now. Significant quantities of human remains have been discovered during excavations at the tomb site. And they said they're shocked by the discovery, and they were continuing their investigation into who was responsible for the disposal of human remains in that way.
So where are you leading with this, Catherine?
I would like to just give context. We owe this to the people.
No, I do appreciate that, but my question is in relation to the process. I think people will be familiar with the shocking substance of this shameful episode in Irish history. And I do appreciate you giving context. No, I know that.
It's important, and it's ongoing. It's ongoing, because every step of the way we have tried in the Dáil to push for openness and accountability. Mm-hmm. Now, Dr. Niamh McCullough has been mentioned by Breda. Again, it's important to mention what she said. November 21, she said she called for a full excavation of the site. Yeah. That was back in 17. So DNA can be used to identify remains. And please, just if I could, as a forensic archaeologist, she said, I have never walked away from human remains in that context. The measures that were put in place to protect the site in 2017 were temporary measures. They were not designed to last longer than 6 months.
So now, then it comes back to the question that I asked at the very start, though, when you lay out the context in that way, Catherine.
Yes.
Is the legislation, the process that has been outlined, is it robust enough?
I mean, the legislation that has been outlined is the start of a process that should have started many years ago. And now we've started a process. We brought in legislation. There's an appointment of a director on one site. There are no time limits set out, no explanation of the process, no explanation of why a team is not in place already now that the director has been appointed. None of that, and it doesn't apply to any other site in Ireland. We are dealing with one specific site.
Would you like a more central role for the coroner?
Serious questions have been raised all the time by the survivors and various representative groups on the ground, including Breda, in relation to the role of the coroner. I have no idea why the coroner hasn't been involved up to now in relation to remains being found on a site. Mm-hmm. inexplicably buried or left in a manner that's totally unacceptable on any level, religious or otherwise.
Okay.
And here we are now, belatedly, and I only started at 2012, 23, we're getting a director. We have no timelines, as I said, we have no indication of when the other sites will be investigated and so on. And we have no idea in relation to the DNA, and I'm no expert. But I go back to what Dr. Niamh McCullough said in relation to the urgency in getting the DNA at that point, and indeed sealing and protecting the site.
I want to go back to, stay with me, Catherine, for a second. I want to go back to Breda Murphy for just one moment on the question of redress, Breda, because legislation in terms of the redress for mother and baby homes is making its way through the Seanad. It'll continue this evening. But there has been disappointment there as well, hasn't there?
Much disappointment. There are 24,000 that are excluded, and the government themselves admit that those are survivors, living survivors from the homes, many of whom were adopted out, many of whom spent less than 6 months in the home. And that seemed to be the criteria, that if you spent 5 months, for instance, and 20 days or whatever, you were excluded point blank from any avenue to justice, any redress. And if you were there 6 months, you qualified as a child. They also made distinctions as regards women who worked. So they've only recognised women who worked in the Tuam home. And we know for a fact that women worked within Besborough and Shanross Abbey, for instance. And Besborough closed in 1998. Tuam closed in 1961. So if one is looking at it and trying to decide why did they do this, you would say simply it is a money-saving tactic, because more mothers would surely be alive today that would have been in Shanross Abbey or in Besborough. And so at every avenue, including racial discrimination, forced separation from the mother, that is not at all recognised. And a real bone of contention in the Seanad last week with our senators, Alice Mary Higgins, particularly, was in relation to the waiver and what the waiver covers.
Okay.
And surprisingly, astonishingly, actually, the minister could not say what the waiver covered. He said he would come back. So can you imagine putting a piece of paper before a survivor or a mother to sign everything, all her rights away,
and not knowing
what she's signing?
Look, Breda, there's obviously an awful lot more to discuss in this, and Daniel McSweeney will be meeting with the families, as the minister said, and we'll possibly discuss further after that. Breda, though, I'll let you go for the moment, and my thanks to you for joining us on the programme. Catherine Connolly, I'll hold on to you for one more minute, because there's news in relation to your own constituency today on another matter entirely. It's that the government plans to house 300 asylum seekers in the Ballybrit industrial site in Galway. You were one of the local representatives to be briefed about this. It's caused much controversy elsewhere. What do you know then?
I'm going to go to that immediately, but I want to just finish on the appointment of a mediator with the religious orders in relation
Sheila
to the
Noonan,
previous topic. Sheila Noonan. I have no idea why that's necessary. She's going to take over on behalf of the minister the ongoing negotiations. Questions have to be asked. What are the results of the ongoing negotiations? Have they reached an impasse? What has happened in relation to contributions from the religious orders that the minister told us continuously in various Dáil debates?
Well, actually, I'm sure the department is listening. If they want to give us the result of ongoing negotiations to date, they are certainly welcome to furnish a statement to us.
I would love to know why it's taken so long.
For fear of running out of time, Ballybrit.
Yeah, absolutely. In relation to you, I think all TDs in Galway West were contacted by the minister on Friday, and I welcome that. And he told us that they were going to, over 300 asylum seekers would be moving to Galway to two units in the Ballybrit industrial estate. He said he would be forwarding us a briefing document. I got that briefing document sometime yesterday. I got to read it today, and he set out general facts in relation to what's happening. And he has offered, if we have any questions, to go back to him. So I welcome that as progress. And I think it would be helpful if the TDs together went back and met the minister in due course in relation to the proposal. Do I think it's ideal accommodation? No, I do not. Two industrial units are going to be changed into living units, but it's much better than on the streets or in a tent. So that has to be welcomed without a doubt. I don't know whether I have time to go into more general points on it.
Unfortunately, but we'll certainly talk to you again and very soon on this programme about that, because it's something people, especially locally, will want to hear about. And apologies for rushing you in terms of the context earlier on, but I was afraid I'd run out of time to ask you questions about redress and about negotiations and so on in relation to the mother and baby home situation. But Catherine Connolly, Independent TD for Galway West, thank you very much indeed. And beforehand, Breeda Murphy of the Tuam Mother and Baby Home Alliance, thank you as well.